Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To coast.
So Carver High, Bears and Texans, Soldier Field. I mean, I'm leaning Chicago here. I won't deny. I thought that, you know, the Texans look good against the Colts, and I thought they look good against the Broncos. But it doesn't mean that they're winning. They didn't win either game. It was a tie and a loss. And I was extremely disappointed in the Broncos in both games in Seattle and in Denver. But I don't think it's a true Behringer of, like, how the Texans played. I think they'll be in the game with Chicago for certain. I mean, I just don't think the Bears are that good.
I don't think the Bears are that good either, but I think that this is a pretty decent spot for them. You're not going to get many of them with the Bears. We know they're not a good team. Numbers under 3. The game's at home. Fields is a lot better than Mills. This is the second week in a row on the road for Houston. As hard as they played, because they're not very good. As hard as they've played for Lovie the first couple of weeks. You got Lovie going back to Chicago, all that nonsense. I think the Bears will take care of business, Scotty, on Sunday against the Texans. I think it's a tough spot to ask that team to play well 2 weeks in a row on the road. Another game, which is going to be very interesting in the AFC. You have two teams that made the playoffs last year that have both started 0-2. They play in Nashville this Sunday. Raiders and the Titans, Scotty. Let's start with Josh McDaniels. He's getting criticized for not running the football more in that second half against Arizona, killing some clock, not allowing Arizona to get that big comeback. He says, "I'll coach the way that I want to coach."
Depends on the time. Depends on the score and the time. You know, if there's 13 minutes to go in the game, I don't think that's the time to just kneel on the ball. You know, you have to keep playing, clearly. You saw it yesterday. So, you know, I've been through games where, you know, you can always look back and do something a little bit better, and that's no different with me for this one or any game that I've called, really. You look at it and say, hey, could we have done something a little better here or there? The answer is mostly yes. But at the end of the day, you make a call that your players know how to execute, and we got to go out there and try to do the right thing. And, you know, and we have a lot of good plays, and, you know, we're going to need a few more plays in key situations is what we're going to need.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think they can go to Tennessee and lose to the Titans in Smashville. Now, you've got two teams that haven't won. They're both desperate. And one of them's at home, okay? Yep. So I'd much rather be at home 0-2 than on the road flying cross-country to play them. I don't care if you go in Friday, Saturday. I don't care what your sleep clock is and all the rest. I'm just telling you, you're going to have a packed house of drunks. They're angry. They're 0-2. They cannot start 0-3, either team. I'm going to lean on the Titans at home, to be honest with you, even though they look crappy against the Bills.
I was very surprised when I looked this morning and I saw that the Raiders, Scotty, are 2.5-point favorites in Nashville. I'm very surprised. And I know the Titans have not looked good these first 2 weeks of the season. I get it. This team, I just think you got to have some faith in them one more week that you're going to eventually get a little bit of the Titan team that was number one in the AFC last year. You're going to get a better Henry. Henry's been awful. They haven't blocked for him. I get it. Tannehill's been awful. The defense has been awful. This is last stand at the OK Corral for them, Scotty. I just got a feeling they're catching points at home. That seems like a very good situation for Tennessee. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast, SiriusXM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. So, yes, Scotty, I'm on the Titans on Sunday, I think, along with you.
Yep. I mean, I spilled it already. That's what I think.
Now, we said yesterday who would be the favorite to be the first coach fired this year. Is it Reich or is it Matt Rhule? Here is Matt Rhule. He believes, Scotty, that he's going to get a big effort from his players this week at home against the Saints.
I think our guys are pretty resilient. You know, my first year here, we started off 0-2, and we were 3-2, you know, after that. So I think these guys are all professionals. They want to win, and they'll come in with you know, they had a great mindset today in my meeting with them. They're in, you know, meetings now. So I'm sure that they'll be ready to go this week, knowing it's an NFC South game and knowing that the Saints are a good team.
I'm all right with this as a home dog live at 3, them getting 3 in Charlotte against what I think is a very average football team. I've said it from training camp until now. They look terrible against Tampa. And they lost their cool and everything else, and they lost the game, and Winston looked terrible, and he's capable of looking terrible. Now he's going on the road against a desperate team. The Saints have a win. The Panthers don't. Desperate times, desperate measures. You're home, and you're getting 3. I'm leaning Panthers here, Carver High.
I'm leaning Panthers as well. Look, I know I've been on them the last 2 weeks. And they've buried me. Both of those games against the Browns and the Giants, they couldn't get it done. Last chance for me with the last chance for me with the Panthers this year. And I do think if they lose on Sunday, I think they'll fire Rhule on Monday. 0-3 start. McCaffrey back. They trade for Baker. Haven't looked good offensively. I think they fire Rhule if they start 0-3 on Monday.
You might be right, and that would just be fantastic.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver, how you talk about a guy that is having a Maalox moment, it would be Nate Hackett.
He certainly is, Scotty. He has had a rough first couple of weeks, even despite being 1-1 to start his NFL head coaching career. Let's hear from Hackett. Needs to be better with his communication, Scotty, with his team, with his quarterback, Russell Wilson. Well, pretty much with everybody. Here's Hackett.
When it comes to the operations, you know, that's something that we're talking about quite a bit. You know, there's a lot of things. We got to make sure the communication is clear and concise. I need to do better at making decisions faster and quicker and getting that information to the quarterback and being on the same page with him. So that's stuff that we're talking about this morning all the way to this evening and making sure that it's got to improve.
I have to tell you again, I said this yesterday, he doesn't play. He gets blamed for everything, but he's not playing. I thought that that team looked anemic themselves playing. I thought Russell Wilson was terrible, and I thought they were terrible in Seattle too, with all the fumbles and turnovers and just a malaise, boring, vanilla offense. They brought this guy in. They didn't even need to give him that extension, but they gave him $250 million on top of the fact that he had 2 years already. I would have never, if I ran that team, I would have made him play 1 year before I started giving him $250 million. I would have said, all right, you got 2 years. I'm gonna visit this after the season. When the season's over, you put up big numbers, I'll give you the money. If you don't, then we got a discussion to have. Instead, I think they jumped the gun. They gave him $250 million. I think his best years are long gone. They're long gone. This is Peyton Manning phase two. And like I said yesterday, he threw a duck for that touchdown pass to the tight end. It was so bad. I mean, the ball, my daughter throws it better. And I mean it. And you saw that pass. It was ugly. I mean, it was like, and I can't even believe the guy caught it. And everybody celebrated. And they won the game. They look terrible on the field. And you can blame the head coach all you want and boo him all you want. But you should be booing Russell Wilson.
There was no reason to give him all that money. It's just like we talk about with the college coaches. Like, they give him extensions before they ever win anything. Like,
right.
There was no reason to give him that fat bag before
he had it.
Snap for you. I mean, there's no reason. You don't know if he shot or not or anything. Kind of silly. They will play the Sunday night game this week, Scotty, against the 49ers. So you got the 49ers going to Denver, prime time, Sunday night. And the Niners, Scotty, now 1.5-point road favorites in Denver for that game.
Listen, the Denver Broncos are not better than the 49ers. Okay, let's just sum it up. I think the Niners are the better team. I think Jimmy G's a winner. All he does is win. People hate him. They never stop talking bad about him. All he does is win. And this other guy, Wilson, to me, just looks like a mess in Denver's system.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'll come out of it this week, but there's no way I'm betting on them. There's no way I'm betting on them in that game. I'm taking the Niners.
This might be like the only game I even get to watch on Sunday, Scotty. I mean, that's the night game on Sunday. Yeah, slide those kids into bed after all day at that Magic Kingdom. Go over to the pool bar for a couple of beers and watch the Niners and the Broncos on Sunday night. That's it.
You got to get your NFL on, Carver High. I don't care if you're in Disney. I don't care if you're in Orlando. I don't care if you're in a hot tub. I don't care if you're in your bed. You got to get that app going with This Is How You Football and start getting some of that action going on there.
I have already begun to put the blueprint together for the afternoon nap correlated with the Bill Dolphin game from 1 to 4 p.m.
Does she still take naps? Does she take naps
still? I mean, she doesn't, but she'll just go jump in the pool. The big guy's going to have to go down for a couple of hours. He won't make it 12
he deserves,
hours.
He deserves rest. You know, he's a busy
guy.
He
deserves rest, and I deserve the Bills and the Dolphins. With a beer
and alcohol.
That's it. That's what we will try to get. Tom Brady and the Bucks, they will host the Packers this Sunday, Scotty. They will be without wide receiver Mike Evans. Got the one-game suspension yesterday after his role in the fracas with Marshawn Lattimore. Very silly, especially since they're probably not going to have Godwin. They're probably not going to have Julio Jones. They definitely don't have Gronk anymore. They're out of options. They had to sign Cole Beasley today to try to get some more bodies in the wide receiver room. Here's Tom on his Let's Go podcast last night, Scotty, with Jim Gray saying the one-game suspension was too much.
Well, it was an emotional game against a team that we have a tough time with. And I think everyone prior to the game felt very intense. The game was intense. It was a hard-hitting game. And, you know, Mike and Marshawn, you know, they've had their own battles over the years. And look, I think just sometimes the emotions get the best of us. And I love Mike. And the fact that Mike would come out there to defend me, I mean, it means everything in the world to me as a teammate and a friend. And Mike knows how I feel about him. So in the end, emotions are a part of sports. Sometimes they boil over, and they obviously did yesterday. And it's a unfortunate circumstance. I don't think it deserved any type of suspension. I think that's ridiculous. You know, hopefully we can move past it, get to a better place.
Well, there you go. So are you going to take him in Raymond James against Rodgers and the Packers, who look great against the Bears and who are relatively sans my favorite player to not talk about on the offensive line, sans him. I refuse to talk about him, but sans him, they look good. And Tampa's entire team is in the MASH unit or suspended. Are you willing to take the Packers outright in Tampa?
I am willing to take the Packers outright
on
Sunday.
My shoulder is numbing. I can feel it. I feel it coming on.
I am willing to go with the Packers. They beat them down there a couple years ago. I think that they could do it again. I'm on the pack, baby, this Sunday for Aaron Rodgers. Every week we can find one moment in Mike McDaniel's press conferences where he's having a little bit of fun coming off a big comeback win. Well, yesterday, Scotty, it was him breaking down the dance moves of tight end Mike Gesicki. He scored, of course, one of those touchdowns in the comeback, the one that got it started, I believe, that made it 35-21. Here's McDaniel breaking down the moves.
Head coach, you definitely do very little to almost nothing on your own. So with all my resources, I was able to get some footage of maybe some other, or possibly some other people attempting the same dance moves that may or may not be fathers,
slept.
Dads. You know, there was, we had to outsource some footage of the general population to kind of put it in perspective, to make sure that his teammates knew that it wasn't a subpar effort, that there could be worse, but it was in the family of worse, if that makes sense. Yeah. All right. Listen. Have a good one.
Listen, honestly, he does not wear those glasses. Now, you know, I got like five pairs of glasses here. I get glass critiqued by the suits about which glasses I wear on TV every day. I have about five pairs, right? I'm not allowed to wear two of them. But I am convinced he wears Don Shula glasses from the 70s on the sideline on Sunday. It was epic Shula. And I am telling you, I will not get off of that. He looked like Don Shula when he was 35 years old, and it was creepy. And I mean, it is the second coming of Don Shula. And that's a really good sign for everyone in South Florida, because if this kid does anything compared to what Don Shula did, get ready to win a Super Bowl.
He was wearing that sweatshirt again, too, down there in the Florida heat. Your boy, he looked like he hadn't slept in 3 or 4 days. We already talked about the spread. We'll talk about it more during the week. Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay Jr. suspended 4 games. NFL personal conduct policy. Michael Gallup trending toward a return for the Cowboys Monday night against the Giants. Tight end Dalton Schultz, PCL issue right knee, doesn't look great for Monday night. And the Browns have banned a fan who hit Jimmy Haslam with a bottle during the loss to the Jets on Sunday. Look out.
Can't happen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
I mean, I got to tell you, Carver Hyde, to be honest with you, I don't even think it matters I wear glasses at all anyway, because I wear them and I still can't see. Like, I'm still, like, you know, 20 feet away from the television monitors and the odds that you put up. Every time you put up anything on there, I can't see it anyway. So I don't even know why I wear them. Remember when I didn't wear them for a while and they're like, you're squinting. You need to put the glasses back on. At least I don't squint when I got the glasses on, but I still can't see anything. I'm Helen Keller over here.
Right, which is why I always tell you, even though you can't see the odds on the screen, everybody else can. So it's okay. It's not a big deal.
Thank God.
Everybody else can see the odds. It is time for the Lion's Share, Scotty, brought to you by BetMGM. And starting this week, College Football Tuesdays on the Lion's Share. What do you think about that? We're going to get involved. We'll update the futures and start to look at some of the biggest games coming up for this weekend. We will, of course, start with the national title odds, Scotty, as we go into week 4 of the college football season. Georgia, now the favorite, plus 175. Alabama, plus 200. Ohio State, plus 300. And then you get that big gap, Scotty. And then you get into the Clemsons and the USCs and such. But you know the top three are always going to be there.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Ohio State, to me, did not look good against Notre Dame or Arkansas State. I am not buying them for the national championship like everybody else is. In fact, I said on this show they would roll Michigan in Columbus November 26th. And I'm starting to have my druthers about that now. Depending on what the line is, that might be a bite I might chew on, that Michigan line. But we'll see. It's still Georgia and Alabama for me. And everybody else is just a poser. I mean, USC looks fantastic, but I don't know how they would do against those heavies. My guess is they would get pounded by Georgia and Alabama. So to me, it comes down to the Bulldogs and Tide again.
I think they would get pounded by those heavies as well, and I also think that they will, at some point this season, get picked off in one of those late-night Pac-12 games.
Oh, yeah.
I do not think that USC is going to make it through Always clean does. Throughout this entire regular season. Here's some deeper shots for you. Michigan is 25-1 now to win the title. Not bad if you think they actually are going to beat Ohio State this year. Oklahoma's moved up to 40-1. Penn State, a big jump to 50-1. Tennessee in the mix as well. Here's the problem with Tennessee, Scotty. They're not beating Georgia and Alabama in the SEC. They're going to beat both of them. Could they get lucky against one? I guess if the sun shined right for them. But they ain't beating both of them.
Well, just remember, the best bet I love this year that I hit was Tennessee at Pitt and laying six, and they won by 7 in overtime. That was great. But look how badly they struggled against Pitt. They're going to become South Carolina when it comes to Georgia and Alabama. They cannot beat either one of those teams. Tennessee is not that good. I think Heupel's doing a great job. I think they are building something special again in Knoxville that I still believe, I know this is going to sound crazy, but to me, they look to be about 2 years away from being really good again. This year, they're going to be good. Next year, they're going to be better. And in the third year, I think they're going to be really special.
Let's take a look at the Heisman Trophy after 3 weeks of the college football season. And I think they got this one wrong. C.J. Stroud's the favorite at plus 250, right? Caleb Williams of USC is 3-1. Bryce Young, plus 450. I know we won it last year, and they don't like giving it to the same guy 2 years in a row, but I like that plus 450. You get a little value with Bryce Young right now, and then you get the deeper shots of the Stetson Bennett. He's not winning the Heisman. Dylan Gabriel, et cetera, Scotty. But Bryce Young, plus 450, that's where I'd go right now.
I would agree with you, and I would say it's based on that length of the field drive against Texas showed how great he is. And Stroud, to me, those are just phony numbers that he's stacking up against the likes of Toledo and Arkansas State. Let's calm down on Stroud. In the big game that he played against a crappy Notre Dame team, they scored 21 points. That's all I need to know. Your boy Young stepped up big on the road in Austin, down, and they went down the field, the length of the field, and won the game on a field goal. That was impressive. He was impressive. He's the Heisman favorite.
Stroud does get a little bit of a better defensive test at home with Wisconsin this week. If he puts up the same numbers there, maybe we can start to talk a little
bit. They won't lose to them.
They're not going to lose to them. I agree with you. I think that Ohio State, we'll talk about it in a moment, is going to whack Wisconsin on Saturday night. Let's look at some of these games for this weekend. We will start with the noon East kick. 3-0 Maryland visiting 3-0 Michigan, Scotty. Now, this has been the deal with Maryland the last few years. Very good in the non-conference in September. They get into the Big Ten schedule. It doesn't go very well for them. 16.5 in the Big House right now.
I think Michigan will cover that number against Maryland easily. I thought Maryland was lucky to beat SMU. And before that, they played Cream Puffs. They're not going to do well in a big house. They've been putting 50-plus on everybody every single game. I think they'll score in the neighborhood of 38 to 45 points on Maryland.
Clemson visits Wake Forest. Significant game in the ACC if you believe Wake is for real. Right now, Clemson, 7-point favorites on the road going to Winston-Salem, Scotty. I like Clemson.
Yeah, so do I. I just think, for me, and I don't deny Wake's decent, and that's as far as I'm going to go. They barely beat Liberty. I think Clemson goes into Winston-Salem and wins the game by 10.
Iowa State, 2.5-point favorites at home against Baylor as these two teams both start Big 12 conference play. Very fishy. I think Baylor's the better team, Scotty, but Iowa State at home, I might be leaning in that direction.
Yeah, I don't really get all caught up in the Campbell and Iowa State hype like the rest of the country. I just don't think they're that good. I think Baylor goes in and beats them.
We were talking about Tennessee before with their chances against Georgia and or Alabama. Well, this week they have Florida on Rocky Top. We know the deal. Florida always beats them only once in the last blah, 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 blah. This is a better Tennessee team this year. Laying 10.5, though, at home against the Gators.
Yeah, that number's way out of line and whack. That game's going to be under a touchdown at the very least. That's a field goal game if I've ever seen one, especially when Florida, even when they suck, they beat Tennessee. They always beat Tennessee. Now, I like Tennessee, but there's no way I like that spread. I would jump on the Gators on the other side of that and middle it.
I think the question is, are we going to get the Florida team from week one against Utah, or are we going to get the Florida team from the last couple of weeks against Kentucky and South Florida? If we get the Utah one, I think we're going to have a hell of a game on Saturday in Tennessee,
well,
that's for sure.
I think, let's face it, that was a huge national television game against Utah, and they were lit. The Kentucky game, let's just get down to it. The Wildcats are better than the Gators.
Yes.
They're a better football team. No one wants to admit it because they're like, they're not a football school. Yeah, they are now. And so they are better than Florida. Now, this team that they're playing, they're on par with. They're in concert with Tennessee. I think they're both. This is a gigantic SEC game. They will both be lit out of their minds. It's going to be as good as it gets in Knoxville. And as I've said many times, they have a very good-looking student body.
They certainly do. The Longhorns heading to Lubbock this weekend. Texas Tech, the Red Raiders. Texas -6.5, road favorites this Saturday.
I mean, a super dangerous game. I mean, I think Texas is, a floor up on Texas Tech with talent and speed and size. I really do think they're, this is where the big boys go to school, and then their brothers end up going to Texas Tech, okay? When you want to go big time, you go play in Austin. When you want to go D1, you go to Texas Tech just because you got in, right? So I think Texas is better. This game boils down to, for me, Smith not turning the ball over in Lubbock and covering that number at 6.5. This could easily be a field goal game as well. Very dangerous.
I like the points with the Red Raiders at home. Jerry's World, Saturday night, Arkansas and Texas A&M have their annual battle there. Arkansas beat them there last year. Texas A&M, -2.5, total of 49 at Jerry's World.
It's surprising to me. They beat them last year, and I think they're better than Texas A&M, Mike. I'm with you on the Hogs.
Ohio State laying the 17.5 piece at the Shoe Saturday night under the lights. I think this is a very bad spot for Wisconsin on Saturday night.
Yeah, I just don't believe in Wisconsin at all. I bet on them last week laying 37.5, and that's because they were playing Cream Puff City, New Mexico State. So I actually believe right here that Ohio State wins this game by 20 to 24 points.
Are we buying into the Cougars yet? Wazoo up in Pullman. They get the Ducks, quack, 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 after the win over BYU. Ducks, 6.5-point road favorites in Pullman.
Well, I think Oregon and Bo Nix can win this game. Can they win by a touchdown is another story entirely. I have been cashing tickets for 3 weeks on Washington State. So as they say in the south of France, s'il vous plaît, monsieur, I may go back to the well with the Cougs and the number.
I might as well. And finally, my favorite game of the weekend, another Pac-12 team laying points on the road. USC into Corvallis against the Beavers. I love my Beavers, Scotty. Let's go.
And what's the number, 6.5?
6.5 right now. 6.5.
Yeah, I think USC beats them by 10 or more.
Woo! 10 or more for the Trojans. The lion's share. College football brought to you by BetMGM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the D-backs are up 3-1 on the Dodgers in the first of two at Chavez Ravine tonight. Bottom four right now in Lipstick City. Arizona, as I said, up a couple of runs. Bob Nightingale is our baseball insider, national esteemed columnist with the USA Today, back on Coast to Coast. Bob, good to see you as always, my friend. The wild card picture is a done deal now in the American League. The Orioles got whacked last night, 11-0 by the Tigers. I think that pretty much summed it up. We already know it's the Jays, Rays, and Mariners, and they're playing for, you know, positioning, aren't they? These games they're playing are still important, that they're playing every day. Like yesterday, I was all over the Mariners in that game in Anaheim. They needed to go out there and handle their business, and they did 9-1. And then you see the Rays losing to the Astros. That couldn't have tasted good. What do you think of how it's shaping up right now in these final weeks before the end and the start of October in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad they expanded the playoffs this year. It really would have been mesmerizing to see what was happening in the NL wildcard race and AL. But you're right, Scott, this is just for seeding purposes. But the big thing is, if you're the number four seed, so you have the top wildcard spot, you get to host that best of three. If you're five and six spots, you're on the road both places.
So of those teams, who do you find to be the most dangerous? I think it's the Seattle Mariners, the way they have played all year and the fact that they have Ray and Castillo. And I mean, I think the Suarez injury hurts them. They need to get him back. I don't know if that's possible after he busted his thumb, whatever it was. What does that situation look like? And do you agree with me that they're dangerous?
Yeah, 100% agree. I think if there's a spoiler in the American League, maybe a spoiler throughout the whole baseball playoffs, it's the Seattle Mariners. And when they can throw, you know, hey, Castillo's as good as anybody. When they can throw Castillo at you, Robbie Ray, Logan Gilbert, you know, George Kirby, that's a strong quartet. The only thing you worry about is how young they are. You know, how are they going to react under pressure for the first time? You know, been 20 years since it's been in the playoffs. But they can beat anybody, you know, if things break right their way. So I agree. I think they're very dangerous. I will be interested, though, because so many Canadian fans come down to Seattle when the Blue Jays are in town. If they happen to host the Blue Jays in the first round, how many of those fans be rooting for the Blue Jays and how many fans be rooting for the Mariners?
Yeah, that's true. Do you like Castillo tonight against Sears in Oakland at the Astros? Do you like them in the start of that series?
Yeah, I like Castillo just about against anybody, Scott. I do. Yeah, I love Castillo. I mean, of all the trades that were made at the deadline, that was by far the best one, not even anything close. I mean, look at the difference between them getting Castillo and the Yankees not getting Castillo. And now the guy they got, of course, it goes on the injury list for the next 15 days. So, yeah, they got by far the best starting pitcher out there.
So I want to ask you about the Yankees situation. Montas went on the IL today, correct? And then finally, after watching Montgomery go to St. Louis and dominate every start he's had in a Cardinal uniform, and everybody thinking that Cashman got completely fleeced of all of his underwear in the drawer, tonight, I guess they've activated Bader. What can fans expect to see from the Gold Glove outfielder with tons of speed who's been out all year with plantar fasciitis?
Well, he's an outstanding center fielder, you know, won the Gold Glove. I think the fans will love him a lot. I mean, he's a gamer, plays the game very hard, great defense. And, hey, you know, it allows him to move Aaron Judge back to his natural position, right field, so he doesn't have to go run around chasing everything. I mean, he did a terrific job. Also allows him to move Aaron Hicks to the bench. So, yeah, I mean, they made that trade for October. They figured, hey, they don't need Montgomery to make the playoffs. They probably don't have Montgomery in the playoff roster. So that's where they made it. I mean, they knew that Bader was going to take his time getting back. And then Montgomery had a chance to do something special in St. Louis. And he sure is.
So, I mean, Benintendi's a guy that hits 300, doesn't have a lot of power. He'll hit one out every month or two. He'll hit a couple. But he's a you know, stroke hitter. He's a gap hitter. He's a singles hitter. And he hits for 300 average. He busted his hand. He's done. And there's talk of him in free agency that he'll get offers, a number of them, to leave and go wherever he wants. Do you believe they'll keep him and get rid of Hicks, keep Benintendi, give him an offer, have Benintendi, Bader, and Judge in their outfield? Because you know they're going to give Judge $400 million.
I don't know about $400, man, close to $300. But, yeah, they'll keep – obviously keep Bader, and then they'll see if they want Benintendi or somebody else. Plenty of outfielders on the market. I'm with you on Hicks. I think it's like Joey Gallo's situation, that Hicks would be much better somebody else. So I think they move him. Maybe they move him for somebody else's left fielder.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and I'll just say this to you, Judge, what he's done this year, betting on himself, and he's sitting at 59. I honestly believe, I don't care if he's 31, whatever, I think they're going to give him $400 million. They're going to have to, because somebody will. And there is no way in hell that Cashman or Hal Steinbrenner will survive letting that guy, A, go to Queens or go to San Francisco or somewhere else. That'll be the death of both of them. I mean, literally the death of both of them. They're going to have to give him $400 million, and you know it.
Well, he's not going to get that, Scott. He's 30 years old, going on 31. Remember the other guys, Mookie Betts, Trout, were younger. So it'll be closer to 300. But even if it's like 320, hey, that's or 310, a ton of money. I just don't know who's going to be in the bidding at that price. You know, maybe the Giants with the Cubs jump in. That's about it. I mean, the Mets still have to re-sign DeGrom if they want him back. You know, they got to get Brandon Nimmo, Edwin Diaz. So I'm not sure they jump into those type of waters and increase that payroll to 350. But I think that, you know, I think the Giants will dabble in there, and I think the Cubs will too. But I think in the end, hey, he wants to stay with the Yankees, and the Yankees, you know, love him completely as a person and a player. So, so I see maybe an 8-year deal for him, right around $300 million.
So let's look at the Astros. They went into Tampa last night and kicked their ass 4-0. Tonight, Javier against Dirty Harry McClanahan of the Rays at the Trop. Who do you like in that one? And these are two playoff teams. We know the Astros are going to get a bye. The Yankees will probably get a bye. The Rays, Jays, Seattle, we all know how dangerous they are. Do you think McClanahan can beat him tonight and make it a 1-1 series?
I do. I mean, just because I'm going over the hangover effect. They clinched last night, clinched the division. They haven't clinched the home field advantage, but they're very close to doing that. They got like a 7 or 8 game lead. So Tampa Bay has everything to shoot for. The Astros will probably rest guys tonight. So I would think Tampa would have the advantage, just, you know, with the hangover effect.
What did you think of that performance by Max Scherzer last night in Brewtown?
Pretty impressive. 18 up, 18 down. I think he's up to 24 straight guys now that he's retired in order. And that's what makes the Mets dangerous. I mean, if he stays healthy, if DeGrom stays healthy, that's a powerful 1-2. I think that's why, you know, they want to win the division so bad and not to waste those guys in a wild card series. I mean, they should be able to win the wild card series, but then you won't have either one to start game one of the division series. You might only have one of those guys for 2 games, the other guy for 1 game, you know, in a best of 5.
So if you had to pick a game tonight like that one, with Carrasco going against Ashby, who's 2-10. Now, there's a number of reasons why he's 2-10. They don't score runs, whatever, when he pitches, blah, 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 blah. But Carrasco has been, for the most part, stellar for the Mets this year. And he's going in there tonight in Milwaukee. Again, you went Scherzer, Carrasco. How do you go off of the Mets with that guy pitching tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you like the Mets. You don't love the Mets. I mean, the Brewers need it, too. They're, you know, about 2.5 games out, so they're not out of the National League race yet, kind of hanging on by a thread here. We'll see. I mean, the Brewers are still a very good team. Not a great team, not as good as the Cardinals. So I like the Mets. I like the Mets, but I don't love the Mets in this game.
So the Guardians and White Sox start up a series tonight in Chicago on the South Side. We've watched the White Sox struggle all year. Lately, they've been a little bit better. But the Guardians took 4 of 5 from the Twins and literally cut their throats. Now, they can push Chicago 5 deep if Savali can beat Cease tonight on the South Side. You can't deny that the Guardians are playing way better baseball than the White Sox.
I'll still take Cease. I mean, it's a must win for Chicago. Really, the whole series is a must win. I think the White Sox have to sweep to stay in the race. Remember now, the White Sox also have to sweep to get the tiebreaker advantage. If they lose one of these three games, Cleveland has it, which means, you know, a three-game lead turns to a four-game lead, really. So, but, you know, hey, Cease has been dominant. Cease is still going for the Cy Young Award. I still believe it goes to Verlander. But with Cease being in the middle of this, you know, he's going to pitch lights out for, you know, six innings for sure.
Yeah, I won't deny that. But they always seem to find a way to lose, the White Sox, don't they?
They do. I mean, it's been a tough to watch all season long. So much talent. I know they've had a ton of injuries, but who hasn't? You know, they've had a ton of injuries, too, to key players. But, yeah, I mean, they know what's at stake here. I would think they'd have a decent crowd, you know, for a Tuesday night. We'll see. It'd be fun if they win the next two games just to see the build up and how excited people get on the south side of Chicago, because they have, you know, underachieved all season long.
So I always like betting on Wainwright when he's pitching at Busch. Tonight he's pitching at Petco in San Diego, a great game with the Cardinals and Padres. Can Clevinger beat them? The Padres are a slight favorite tonight, and Wainwright's not at home, where I think he's pretty dominant.
I'd probably go with the Cardinals. I just saw the Padres in four games in Phoenix starting to play well. I mean, they Bob Melvin aired them out after the first night, and they responded by winning the next three games. Kind of reminded me the same thing happened in Phoenix when Atlanta lost a first two games of a series. Brian Snicker aired them out. They won 14 straight and been on a roll since. So we'll see how the Padres respond. For some reason, they're underachieving too, a very erratic team. So I like St. Louis a little bit here, even though their offense has been silent for the most part the last few games.
I got 30 seconds. Do the Braves take the East or the Mets? The Braves are playing these games against the Nationals in Atlanta this week. They should win every one of them.
Yeah, they play next weekend, actually, right? And they, I do think Atlanta wins that division. I still think Atlanta's a team to beat for the World Series. I think they're that good.
All right, Bob, you're the man. Enjoy the games tonight. Always a pleasure having you on Coast to Coast, my man.
My pleasure. Take care, Scott.
There he is, Bob Nightingale. Now, we're going to talk more, Carver High and I, about all of these baseball games we got to do today in Carver High history. We'll hit all the odds of who's playing tonight, who's pitching tonight, and who do we like tonight in baseball coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, it's time for Today in Carver High History.
Yes, it certainly is. Let's start today in 1955. Willie Mays becomes just the seventh player to reach 50 home runs in a season. 1958, Orioles knuckleballer Hoyt Wilhelm no-hits the Yankees. 68, Mickey Mantle hit his 536th and final career home run. 1969, Pirate Bob Moose no hits the Mets, 4-0. Remember old Bob Moose over there in Pittsburgh? 1973, Billie Jean King beats Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes tennis match. 73, Willie Mays announces he'll retire at the end of the year. 1980, bronze plaque dedicated to the memory of Yankee catcher Thurman Munson at the stadium after he passed away in the plane crash the year before. 1985, Curtis Strong convicted of selling cocaine to pro baseball players. Not a good scene. 1987, 49ers wide receiver Dwight Clark, then NFL record streak of 105 consecutive games with a catch, comes to an end. 87, Walter Payton scores his then NFL record 107th rushing touchdown.
Sweetness.
1988, Wade Boggs, Scotty, first player in Major League history to get 200 hits in six consecutive years. Let's hear this one.
Between second base and shortstop. Oh, you've got it. There's 200 hits. Wade Boggs with his 200th hit for the sixth consecutive season. The first man to do it in modern baseball history.
Very exciting broadcast there.
Very, Very exciting. This day in 2020, 2 years ago, Bryson DeChambeau wins his first major. Remember, he won the U.S. Open that was pushed back because of COVID. He was the only player to finish under par. And a year ago today, Royals catcher Salvi Perez hit his 46th homer to break Johnny Bench's major league record for most in a season by a catcher. We'll hear from Salvi again next hour, Scotty, with the Taters tonight, because he's facing Dylan Bundy again, and we're going to go light him up one more time. Salvi and the Taters tonight.
Every time we ring the bell with our boy Salvi.